I've told you before that when Heather and I were helping with a church plant in Florida, I worked at Habitat for Humanity to help support our family while serving in the church there. I remember there was a big push when I was there for companies to partner with volunteer organizations such as Habitat. I remember these organizations would, you know, they'd pay their employees to volunteer for half a day or a whole day every quarter or so, and then publicize the hundreds of hours that their employees volunteered. Sometimes it was a benefit to us as an organization, and we would even get repeat volunteers who came back on their own. However, many times all it amounted to was a photo op for the company and some good publicity because their employees really didn't want to be there. Growing in service is not that, and that's what we're talking about today, is growing in service. It does not mean you volunteered more this quarter than last quarter. Many of us naturally think that serving is rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty. Perhaps serving in many different areas here in the church. Serving in a soup kitchen or coaching a youth sports team, shoveling your neighbor's walk. It is those things. But it is so much more. It's so much more than that action. Instead, we want to have the attitude of a servant. But not just any servant. We want to have the attitude of the ultimate servant, Jesus. Turn with me if you have your Bibles. If you have a pew Bible, it's page 984. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we are rooted in Christ, we are growing in service. This all starts with our attitude. It's all about having the right mindset. Our attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. The translation for attitude here is the Greek word phroneo, which carries a word picture of thinking in a particular manner. We should think about things the way that Jesus did. And how did he think? He thought of things as a servant. Anytime we would serve somewhere in my many years as a youth minister, I would read this passage to those involved. Whether it be in Springfield or New Orleans or Guatemala or Indiana, I wanted us all to serve with the attitude that Jesus had. I hoped that it would not just be another chance to be a good photo op for our youth group. I hoped that it would amount to more than a Facebook or Twitter post. If that was what it amounted to, then that really didn't have the chance to change the people we were serving or ourselves. What is so important for all of us to see, what distinguishes the church from the rest of the world, is our motivation. There are many people out there that serve for a myriad of reasons. For work, because they're bored. Some just want to help out those that are less fortunate. And there's nothing wrong with those reasons. There's nothing wrong with those people. However, we want to do these things because of our love of Jesus. We want to serve because God served us first, and we want to spread the love of Jesus through the world. God cared about our attitude. He cares about our attitude. He cares about our motivation. When asked about giving, the Bible says He wants what? What kind of giver? A cheerful giver. A cheerful one. God doesn't need our money. So if you are not able to give out of thankfulness and with a glad heart, then He would rather you keep it. Above all else, we want to have an attitude similar to Jesus before we serve. Even if it's not a glamorous act. Even if it's going to serve where no photo opportunities abound. We want to serve like Jesus did. We want to have His same mind. So with that today, we're going to talk about the three markers of a servant. And the first marker is giving up my rights. Verse 6. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. I've got a video that we're going to show. It's an old video, but I think it'll have a point.
Melon seeds into the hole and works them in so that they drop into a hollow. Then he saunters off, knowing the baboon is burning with curiosity. The baboon doesn't trust that human being at all, so he plays it cool. But he's dying to know what gives in that confounded hole. Finally, Mr. Inquisitive can't take it any longer. He's got to know what's in there. He reaches in, grabs a fistful, and now his hand's too big to come out. If he had the sense to drop the seed, he could free his hand. Now he lets go when it's too late. First, he laboriously drills a hole in a giant anteap when he is sure a baboon is watching him because he knows baboons are incurably inquisitive. Next, he puts some wild melon.
Awesome. Hey, just start over for whoever it is. Video's called How to Catch a Monkey. I know some of you immediately got how this video related to verse 6, right? You guys got that. Isn't it amazing how often we are that monkey? You know, we reach in somewhere and we grab something that we want, and then we realize that we can't get our hand back out and we're stuck.
Is mind. Mind seems simple, but it really isn't. There is an I'm in control attitude that comes along with that word. This is my career. I'm going to make my relationship with Him work out. My friendships are going to last a lifetime. We live in a me-saturated culture. The problem with that is that not only is it self-centered and self-focused, in reality, this mind business is a false construct. It gives us a fake sense of security that leads to a white-knuckled grip on the steering wheel of life. We hold tight to what we deem as ours. Of course, we know in theory that everything belongs to God. But we still cling tightly to the idea that we can be in control of our own lives. In all actuality, we can't control our lives. Friends walk away, boyfriends leave, pets die, careers end, families change. You can either be left with fingers stiff and sore from gripping so tightly and a heart aching with the pain of treasures ripped away, or you can open your hand and let them go. It's not that you should just hopelessly give up on taking responsibility for your life, but it's healthy to consciously reject the habit of holding so tightly that your desperate hands have to be pried away before you realize the gifts that you've been given. And of course, some friendships, careers, and relationships are worth fighting for with every breath in your body, but not everything. Sometimes you need to open your fingers, hold out your hand, and let it go. Learning to hold loosely is the key to living life well. How much trouble we would save ourselves if we learned to hold on to things loosely. If we were to realize that God is God and we are not. All things are given to us from Him. Nothing we have is from our own doing or our own accord. If that is the case, we must realize that we are not His equal. We are not in control. God gives and God takes away. If Jesus, when He came to earth, was God, and He was, did not consider equality with God something to cling to, why do we try and make ourselves God's equal? Well, I don't do that. Are you sure? Pardon? We absolutely do. We are all control freaks. That is part of being born in the day and age that we are in. We all want what we want right now. We all fight for our rights. We all want to protect our stuff. We all want to be acknowledged for what we have done, to be thanked for a job well done. It is in our human nature. However, when will we realize that God doesn't want us to fight tooth and nail for every little thing? Sometimes, many times, He wants us to hold on to our rights less and hold on to Him a lot more. He is God. Let Him be in control. The second marker is giving up my position. Verse 7, He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. The word picture here is this. It's actually really simple. It's this idea right here. That sounded cool. That's the word picture. The word picture is pouring out. God pouring out. Jesus pouring Himself out of His godness. Jesus was always pouring Himself out. That is the picture here. That is the picture at the cross. God loves this image to pour Himself out for us so that we might know just how much love He had for us. Truly, that is what Jesus did. We talked about John 1 last week. The Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. The very same Jesus, the Word, that very same one who was there in the beginning, was also born to Mary and Joseph. Not only was He born to humans, whom He created, but He was born in a cave, wrapped in ripped strips of cloth, and laid in a manger. There around Him were animals. There were lowly shepherds. No armies, no choirs, no fanfare. Just as God wanted it to be. He then endured everything that we did. Learning to crawl. To walk, to talk. He had to learn to read, to write. He had to endure middle school. All of this He did willingly to save me. That is how much he loved me. That is how much he wanted the creation that he loved to choose him. For God so loved the world. Remember? He chose to come to earth as one of us. I want to be like Jesus. I want to give up my position. Not that it is much of one anyway, but I want to give whatever position I have up. Just like John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. Giving my position is really giving up my position is realizing that I am but a servant. I am a slave to grace, to righteousness, to mercy. Jesus has freely offered me those things. In turn, I must realize that I am merely one beggar trying to show other beggars where to find some bread. Sobek has to become less. He must become greater. He must become greater. How much do we love our position? How much do we want to keep filling our pitchers? Jesus is pleading with us, follow my example. Pour yourself out till there is nothing left. And then when the day comes, when you meet him face to face, God will tell you what? Well done, good and faithful servant. The third marker is giving up my will. Verse 8, he humbled himself in obedience and died a criminal's death on the cross. The picture we get there is of the Garden of Gethsemane. You guys remember that? We'll talk about it here pretty soon. That time's coming. But the picture of this, Jesus going off by himself to pray. And Jesus praying three different times. Lord, if it's possible, take this cup. I don't want to do this. Jesus knew what was coming. He didn't want to do it. What was so important was the very next words out of his mouth. You remember? Not my, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. That is the picture. The picture of giving up my will is Jesus in the garden. Jesus praying, I don't want to do this. Please don't make me do this. But if you want me to, I'll do it. That's the picture that we get. How hard that must have been. I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't have done the right thing there. I think that sometimes we kind of make the crucifixion a lot more glamorous than it really is. Most of the time, the crosses were used already. Someone else's blood, sweat, and tears was on that wood. Again, just like his birth, there was no fanfare for his death. Hung between two common criminals, mocked and spit on. And then he died. Pretty awful. Such a horrible way to die. Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. He didn't want to. He begged, he pleaded, if there was any other way. He knew what was coming. However, he gave up his will and embraced what God had for him. When was the last time I gave up my will? When was the last time you gave up yours? I think we live pretty comfortably. We pretty much do whatever we want. When was the last time you humbled yourself in obedience? Jesus is calling to us, follow me, give up your rights, give up your position, give up your will. I have shown you what it takes, and it takes everything. All of you, you throw your whole self up on the altar and give me your whole life, and in return, I will give it back to you, a full, abundant life, one that is no longer yours, though. He has become greater as I have become less. He has taken over the throne of my heart, and now my job is to tie a knot and to hang on. And what is amazing, when we give up our will, we are never sorry. We're never sorry. So quickly, when these things are right in my life, these three markers, a couple things. One is I bend my knee in submission. Therefore, God have elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven on earth and under the earth. Here's what I am learning. What I've learned in my 40 years of life. When I bow, when I bend my knee in submission to him, life goes better. It does. Things are not easier, but my soul and my heart is at peace. When I put the name of Jesus in its proper place, the rest of my life seems to make a whole lot more sense. That's what happens when we bend our knees. That's what happens when things are in correct order and in the proper position in our lives. I bend my knee in submission, and it gets easier and easier and easier as I do it more and more and more. But I'm still stubborn. I'm still pig-headed. And I still think that I can do everything on my own. But what I've come to realize more and more is I can really do nothing. And when I do try to do things, I make a mess of it. He must increase and I must decrease. The second thing is this, is I will live my life to make him famous. Verse 11, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My goal in life is that all the world would know. That all those I hold dear and love, that my neighbor, my friends, especially my family, would be able to say that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Before that day comes, before the trumpet sounds, before the curtain falls, I want to spend the rest of my eternity with my Lord and together with those that I love. I want to live in such a way that he is known. I want my life to be a song that declares the fame of Jesus. That's it. I want Jesus to be famous in my life. And I want Jesus to be known to everyone that I come in contact with. And the only reason I can have that or do that or even attempt that is because Jesus takes proper place in my life and in my heart. He is the King. That makes sense. I don't know what you're feeling today. I don't know if you're able to pour yourself out or you're like the monkey and you just want to hold on so tightly that you're going to get captured, snared. I don't know where you are. But I know that Jesus loves you very, very much. And he desires for you more than anything else to choose him. Today can be that day. Today can be the day that you choose Jesus.